This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we request praises and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. May Allah accept our deeds. Yet another night program has begun in the nights of Ramadan. Sur'anama tanqadi hadhihi al-layali, subhanallah. They're quickly just leaving us. So tomorrow's already the 27th night of Ramadan. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We ask Allah to accept from us, and we ask Him again to accept from us. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Yesterday, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, in our journey through Surah Yusuf and the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, we stopped the point of the brothers returning back to Egypt upon the advice of their father. Their father advised them not to enter Egypt through only one gate, but to enter the city through multiple gates. And we said that the scholars of tafsir have said that the reason for this was so that they could take the means to be protected from the evil eye. That the evil eye is true. The evil eye is known as al-ayn, al-ayn in the Arabic language, and it is a result of somebody being amazed with you or about you or about something related to you, and they forget to praise God Almighty. They forget to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, by not praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this praise, this amazement remains unprotected, and the devils use it to trouble you. The devils use it to trouble you. And we also discussed how to protect ourselves from the evil eye, and we said ultimately it happens through the morning and evening supplications. In the morning and evening supplications, there are adi'iya, there are supplications through which we gain angels that protect us from these devils that will try and manipulate events to our disadvantage. Okay, and we also said that Yaqub alayhi salam, he advised his children towards this as a precaution. And in his heart, he knew that ultimately it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in control. We only have control of the effort to an extent. But ultimately the result is with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can take the means. The means may work for you. It may not work for you. If it doesn't work for you, that's the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you lock your house, that's taking the means. If you take medication, that's taking the means. Right? But we are not supposed to put our trust in the fact that we locked our home or the fact that we took medication. Our trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it's God Almighty, Allah, who inshaAllah will make this paracetamol work for us and our headache as a result will subside. Or it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will bless the means for us. We locked our door and make it a means of protection from any thief. But a time can happen where even though you lock the door, a thief can still enter. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, same thing with exams and everything else. We take the means, we study hard, we study in advance, we take past papers, we take all the means that are available to us. That is within our control. Effort is with us. Result is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold us accountable for results. He will hold us accountable for our efforts. Yes, He will hold us accountable for results that happen because we didn't apply ourselves. We didn't put into effect the effort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us. So taking the means is from the completeness of tawakkul. Yaqub alayhi salam was showing us his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This worship of the heart, placing your trust in Allah. Placing your trust in Allah, Yaqub is teaching us, it entails two things. Number one, taking the means. Number two, not placing your trust in the means. Placing your trust in Allah with the hope that Allah will make your means effective for you. That is why he said to them, immediately after he told them to enter through abwab mutafarriqa, enter through different doors. What did he say immediately to them? He said immediately to them, he said immediately, he said, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Immediately after he said to them, go through different doors, he goes, I cannot save you from Allah's decree in any capacity. My advice to you is an advice towards effort. But I cannot save you from the decree of Allah. Immediately he told them. And this is a dars, this is a lesson in tawakkul. That tawakkul entails two things. Number one, taking the means, and number two, putting your trust in Allah. Yeah, because some people have the wrong understanding of tawakkul. They say, khalas, tawakkalna ala Allah. We place our trust in Allah, so we don't have to go to work. We don't have to do anything. Let's just worship. Let's just do da'wah. Let's just read the Quran. And khalas, alhamdulillah. Allah kareem. Allah is merciful. Allah is generous. The food will come. My brother, yani if your child came to you and said, I'm not going to study, father. I'm not going to study. Allah kareem. And if the results will come to our liking, what will you say as a father to your son? Will you accept this mentality? Will you say, MashaAllah alayk, yani, Zakallah khair. Will you be happy with your child? You wouldn't allow your child to use those standards. So why do you use those standards for yourself? Okay? This is called copping out, as they say in colloquial English. When you fail at something, then you're just copping out of it. You're just trying to come up with any excuse to justify your poor diligence and your failure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Ameen. So this is a dars from Ya'qub. And remember, I said Surah Yusuf is a madrasa. Even in aqidah, even in terms of Islamic beliefs, even in terms of the worship of the heart. In these couple of verses, subhanAllah. In fact, one verse. Just in one verse, we have this whole lesson of tawakkul. And it's not a direct instruction. Allah is telling us a conversation between Ya'qub and his children. But when we analyze this conversation, we extract from it, anasir al-tawakkul. The reality of tawakkul, the components of tawakkul, the pillars of tawakkul, and how tawakkul works. And Ya'qub alayhi salam says, in al-hukmu illa lillah. Immediately he says, in al-hukmu illa lillah. Amara. Or he says, in al-hukmu illa lillah alayhi tawakkalt. Subhanallah. In the same verse, that in al-hukmu illa lillah, all the decrees are only for Allah. Alayhi tawakkalt, upon Allah do I place my trust. Wa alayhi falyatawakkal al-mutawakkilun. And upon Allah do those who place their trust, place their trust. طيب. Now, Allah tells us, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا mean, Allah tells us, we read this verse yesterday, أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. I think we did read it. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ نَعْمُ. This is where we stopped. So the next verse is, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُف. Remember, Surah Yusuf is moving fast. 1 minute they with their parents in, 1 minute these brothers are with their father where? In the lands of Sham, in Palestine. Next minute they're in Egypt. Not in Egypt, in the palace of the king. It's moving. At one stage it moved 7 years forward. So this is from the eloquence of the Quran and the Quranic stories. Allah says, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفْ. When they entered upon Yusuf, subhanAllah, أَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَىٰ. You know when you're dying to meet someone and then you finally meet them, it's like surreal. You have a surreal moment, like, is this happening? Is this person really here? And he was a young boy, 7 or 8 years old, when he was broken away from his blood brother, Binyamin. Right? They were close, they were together. They were young. And they went through this trial. And subhanAllah, we don't think about Binyamin, what test he was going through. Having lost his blood brother. We talk about Yusuf and Ya'qub. We forget about Binyamin, subhanAllah. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us through this moment that Binyamin himself was going through difficulty as well. And when he had the surreal moment with Yusuf, awa ilayhi akha, he embraced his brother, brought him close. You know when you meet someone you haven't met for years? How is that hug, ya akhi? You feel like, subhanAllah, there's energies being transferred. Have you ever had those hugs, subhanAllah? Where you hug someone who you haven't met for so long, but you love them for the sake of Allah, and you are dying to meet them, and subhanAllah, finally that union happens, and you give them that hug. It happens to me when I meet some of the brothers here in Melbourne. It does, mashallah. I'm used to saying brothers and sisters in Islam. I almost said it happens to me when we meet the brothers and sisters. Allah al-musta'an. No, we only hug the brothers, guys. Just so you know. Don't be saying the sheikh is doing stuff so we can also get ideas, huh? Because Eid is coming. Some people say, brother, Eid is day of happiness. Hug the brothers and the sisters. Allah yahdik. Allah yahdik, ya shama'a. May Allah guide you all. Now, in some countries, this happens. It happens. Say, brother, ittaqillah, ya akhi, what are you doing? Well, sheikh, it's Eid. يعني في أحكام جديد يوم العيد ليس العيد لمن لبس الجديد إنما العيد لمن خاف الوعيد. Let's not make this an Arabic lesson. يعني our audience is English, especially online. يعني there's no new rules for Eid, brothers. Just let you know. يعني just to close the topic. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Deen was completed before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So subhanallah, this, he embraced him. This is a moment, yani. Remember I told you in the last lesson or the lesson before that we are going through a transition. It's like you're going through a moment, subhanallah, where you're living the story and you feel the stress of the test of Yusuf, and suddenly, subhanallah, you see ease after ease. Allah's given him freedom from the prison. Then Allah's given him establishment on the land, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a position, made him in charge of the storage houses, ease after ease, and now he has his brother with him. Slowly but surely things are being reeled back. It's like a full circle is taking place. And it is going to take place, because at the end of the story he's back with his family, albeit 40 to 50 years later. A full circle takes place. And between this point in the circle and reaching that point back is a test to see which one of you is best in deeds. That's life. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. The problem is those who are, Allah says, we created mankind in haste, has been created in haste. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرْ إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرْ إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرْ مَنُوعًا. نعم. وإذا مسه الشر جزوع. When goodness comes to him, he's stingy with it. Keep it. Don't show it. Don't let other people see. You know, they might want it. وإذا مسه الشر جزوع. As soon as difficulty comes, you forget this life is ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Not أكثر عملا. أحسن عملا. Allah says he's the one who created life and death to make manifest for you, to make your reality come to be. So your book of records can reflect your life. The life you're going to live is in the knowledge of Allah. Allah has seen your life before you lived it. He's seen your decisions before you made it. Because Allah's knowledge is not confined to the tenses, to present tense, past tense. Allah created time. When He created time, the tenses came. But Allah existed before He created time. So His knowledge is not confined to the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense, like our knowledge. The life we are to live, Allah has seen it. But Allah has a system, and that system entails the day of Qiyamah, and books, and angels, kiram and katibin. The angels write down your deeds. Then you get to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. The books have to be read to you. And the person will exclaim and say, what is it with these books? They don't leave out anything, not the small sins and not the big sins. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. What you did is manifest. So the life you live is to make it manifest, because Allah is just. If Allah just took you and put you into Jannah and nobody saw the life that you lived and you didn't see the life that you lived and somebody came and said, it's not fair, why is he in Jannah and I'm not in Jannah? Allah's system is just. For everyone to see the deeds that everyone did. And it's on record. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you and make manifest. It's not so Allah can know. Allah knows already. To make manifest. So that the system of Allah can be complete, which one of you is best in deeds. And that's why I said to you, always do good. Always do good. No matter what, just do good. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your circumstance is, my brother and sister in Islam, just make sure you're doing good. Because Allah will bring your situation back to you. He will bring it back to you. I don't know if I mentioned to you in the series, there's a family I was dealing with, subhanAllah. I think I mentioned it. Where the mother-in-law created some turbulence, right? Subhanallah, this is an example of this day and age. There's a family I was dealing with. This son was looking after his mother. He got married, and the wife also, mashallah, was diligent to the mother. But the mother was difficult, and got to a stage where, subhanallah, it was creating a bit of difficulty in the family. Creating difficulty for the son, difficulty for the children, difficulty for his wife, difficulty in terms of the dynamics of the home. But nonetheless, she didn't push for the mother to be removed from the home. But, you know, she was of the idea that maybe we can leave our mother in this home and we can go to another home. Anyway, eventually what happened was things really became untenable and unbearable, and the mother was then shifted to another brother's house. And that was a solution as well. But when this happened, the impression that spread through the family and the extended family was that these people kicked their mother out of the house. Now, what is the default reaction? We defend ourselves. But subhanAllah, this lady, the wife, it's not her mother, it's her mother-in-law. She told the husband, let's be patient. Let's not say anything. Let the people think what they want of us. To the extent they didn't pick up their calls, when they traveled to their cities, they didn't sort of welcome them. They went through this difficulty. The extended family didn't want to know these people. Why did the wife tell the husband, don't say anything? SubhanAllah. She said to me, in answer to this, don't do anything, my dear husband, because if you do anything to defend us, you will have to say things about your mother, that if she was my mother, I wouldn't be happy for someone to know this about her. Shaykh Ajeeb, this is from a heart that's righteous, that fears Allah. And the husband, Jazallah Khair, may Allah reward him, he listened to his wife. Normally it's the opposite, ya akhi. This is a true in-law. Normally it's outlaws. Normally it's the outlaw show. This is the true in-law, that no, this is mother-in-law, she's like my mother. I wouldn't be happy. To defend ourselves, we're going to have to release some secrets. And it's going to spoil her image. Guess what? It took 2 years or so. I got a message just recently that things are changing. Calls are happening. Invites are being sent across. Somewhere, somehow, Allah's made the truth surface to light. Without these people's involvement. And people are saying, SubhanAllah, we were wrong about them. And people respect them even more because they kept quiet about it. Allah is in control. Allah is in control. Just do good. Just do good. Don't break the protocols. Don't backbite. Don't lie about them. Somebody might praise them in your presence and you know who they are. And sometimes it happens. We know people for their true colors. And then somebody says, oh, that person is amazing, and everything in you is desiring to speak out and say, Wallahi, my mushtarrak, ya akhi. Mushtarrak. You know nothing, ya akhi. You guys are laughing, you all know. These are real life situations, yani. There's a fire in you that's ready to explode, yani. You want to correct this person. What are you talking about? But, khalas, you keep quiet for the sake of Allah. This is Islam. Istislam. To submit to the will of Allah in the moment that you're in. You ask yourself, I want to say this with all my heart, all my soul, all my body, all my might. But Allah doesn't want me to say it. Fasa asbir sabran jameelan. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ يعني فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ سَأَصْبِرُ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. I will exercise a beautiful patience. SubhanAllah. And we'll see this in Yusuf. Yusuf, Allah, he has this. You know when we'll see it? Just now, inshallah. So he brings his brother. He hugs his brother. You can feel like, SubhanAllah, there's this chain, there's energy moving between them. SubhanAllah. And I'm sorry I'm saying this again, but I feel this. You know, traveling for me is not easy. People think, yani, you know, Sheikh's always traveling, mashallah. And wallahi, it's not something I look forward to. You can ask my wife, you can ask my kids. It's not something I look forward to. The airport, getting there, it's not something I do easily, even though it's years and it's, yani, the brothers are asking, when was the last time you were home? Yani, a long time ago. And do I go home from here? No. There's 3 or 4 countries I go to, then I go home. But, and I don't sleep on planes as well. And these flights to Australia, they're brutal, ya akhi. If you can't sleep, brutal. And I can't think of another word. And guess what? I keep coming. So I must be something wrong with me. Especially when you take off and you see 14 hours. And this is after you've traveled 10 hours. You travel 10 hours, you have a stopover. Then you get on the plane, it says 14 hours to Melbourne. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What am I going to do for 14 hours? And I can't sleep. If I'm sitting like this, I can't sleep. It's just, I can't do it. But what I love, subhanAllah, is when I land and I meet the brothers. Wallahi, I can, you know, the mashayikh, once we got together, and they were saying, what did you miss during COVID? And some people say, wallahi, we missed the travel, and we missed the, you know, the this and that, and the airports, and the planes, and moving. And I said, wallahi, I didn't miss all of that. I was happy where I was. But I missed the brothers, ya akhi. Wallahi, I missed the brothers. I did. So Yusuf finally met his brother. I can feel this, wallah. I can feel it. Right? He's met his brother, and he tells his brother, subhan, look at how what Allah chooses us to tell us from the conversation. You can imagine, a lot of things were said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he brings his brother close. Awa ilayhi akha. Qala inni ana akhuk. I'm your brother, Yusuf. This is who I am. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Don't be sad for what they did to you. Yusuf is thinking, if they abducted me, threw me down a well. And imagine how Binyamin must have been living all those years. Yani, what do you think of Yusuf alayhi salam? Yani, this is da'i bima'na al-kalima. Huh? He's a da'i, a caller, a propagator in every sense of the word. Every sense. Even in this moment, he's giving da'wah to his brother. La tabtais bima kanu, don't be sad for what they did to you. He got one moment and he's giving him da'wah. Allahu Akbar. Where did Yusuf get this from? Da'wah. Where did he get it from? Who do you think? His father. Give me the dalil. Give me the evidence. Give me the evidence. Somewhere in the Quran that can teach us, subhanAllah, he must have got this from his father. No doubt about it. This constant da'wah. Give me the evidence. Who can tell me? There's a verse in the Quran that clearly gives us this idea. Can I give you a clue? Clue? You want 50-50? Phone a friend? Huh?
When he told him that he saw the dream.
When he told him he saw the dream, he advised him as a father. Let's say that is fatherly advice. Give me yani, advice that is above that. Taib, Surah Al-Baqarah. I'll give you a clue. Surah Al-Baqarah. We go from Surah Yusuf to Surah Al-Baqarah. More clues? Ahsant. Am kuntum shuhada'a idh hadara Ya'qub al-maut? Am kuntum shuhada'a idh hadara Ya'qub al-maut? Idh qala li banihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di. Allah is telling us about Ya'qub on his deathbed. Yani huwa muhtadar. The angel of death is ready for him. He's on his deathbed. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. When he said to his children, these children of his, who will you worship after me? Subhanallah. And these children are who? Anbiya. Yusuf is a Nabi. And like I said, some of the scholars of Tafsir, what do they say about the Asbat? Well, Asbat. They say the Asbat here refers to the children of Yaqub. Each one of them forms a tribe from the tribes of Banu Israel, and they say Yaqub huwa Israelu. Wallahu a'lam. This is a citation, a mention by the scholars of Tafsir. Ma ta'buduna min ba'di. What? Who will you worship after me? Qalu na'budu ilahak. We will worship your Lord. Wa ilaha aba'ika Ibrahim wa Ishaqa ilahu wahida. Wa nahnu lahu muslimun. Now he's ready to pass away. Now that he's ready, the da'i is ready to pass away. They said, we will worship your Lord and the Lord of our grandfathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq. We'll worship one Lord. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And to Allah we are submitters. Allah says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ That is a nation that came and went. And you are a nation now that's reading the Quran. You are a nation that will come and will go, and Allah will question you about what you did. So Yusuf, chip off the old block, as they say, huh? Even though he spent only a few years of his life with his father, Saghir, he was an infant, mashallah, tabarakallah, he's already empowering Binyamin, empowering him. Don't be sad, huh? Don't be sad. I'm your brother. We united. Things are changing, huh? Just take it easy. It's all going to be good. Don't be sad with that which they did. Obviously, he's being holistic here. That don't be sad, my dear brother, for the things they did to our father. That you must have seen them disrespectful to our father. That must have hurt you as well. Doesn't this hurt us when we see our sibling disrespecting our parents? We have blood between brothers and sisters. But if you have to tell a child to choose between a brother or a parent, who will this child choose? Parent. That bond is too strong. So when you see your brother or your sister disrespecting your parent, it affects you. And if you do it, it affects them. So when he's saying, don't be sad for that which they used to do, he didn't say what they did to me, what they did to you for that which they used to do. What you had to experience for what happened to me, the hurt you had to go through because of that. What you had to experience for what they did to our father, the hurt that you had to experience because of that. And then naturally, what they did to you. Because no doubt if they had a problem with me, they would have had a problem with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِمْ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةِ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, okay, now they came with Binyamin. Obviously they had their money. Remember, it was put back in their sacks. So they came back with the money. What was the promise of Yusuf, the minister of the land, the minister of the storage houses? If you bring the merchandise, if you bring your brother, I'll give you the camel load. Right? Gives them the camel load. But guess what? He gives them. They all came back. They came with merchandise. If you come with merchandise, you will get. Didn't they have all their money back? Because when they came the first time, Yusuf put it back into their sacks. Okay. So they get their camel loads each, including the camel load of Binyamin. What does Yusuf do? Ja'ala, Yusuf alayhi salam, places a goblet, something valuable from the palace, into the sack of Binyamin, either himself or either through his aides. But if we look at al-zahir al-ayah, al-zahir al-qissa, you get the impression that Yusuf did it. You get the impression that Yusuf did it. Yusuf did it without anybody knowing. Now, they're getting ready to go. And they're going. When they're going, one of the guards of the palace notices something missing. And who's in the palace besides us? This caravan. So immediately a guard called out and said, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Oh, caravan, people of the caravan, indeed you are thieves. Now, would the guard do that if the guard put the goblet inside this? Some scholars of tafsir through Judeo-Christian narratives, they say, well, siqaya is a type of bowl that you drink from and you measure in as well. It's like a goblet. Okay, it has a dual purpose. You can drink from it and you can measure using it. It's very, very valuable. If the guard put this siqaya inside himself, can he call them thieves? He can't call them thieves because they're not thieves. You put it in their sack. But the guard doesn't know. All the guard knows is this is missing and someone must have stolen it. Okay? قَالُوا وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. Subhanallah. The brothers of Yusuf, they turned back. So what are you talking about? What do you want? السارق إذا سرق هل يقبل أو يدبر. Huh? When a thief steals, what does a thief do? What, if you say thief, does the thief turn and look at you and say yes? Or does he start running? So Allah says, they turned around and they came back. And they said, what are you saying? What have you lost? Because they're not thieves. They didn't steal anything. They're confident. We're not thieves. We didn't do anything. قَالُوا نَفْقِدُ صُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ. We're missing. There's something missing here. What's missing is the goblet of the king. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرِ وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. And whoever comes with it will get a camel's load worth of merchandise. وَأَنَا بِهِ زعيم, and I'm the guarantee for it. Subhanallah. This ayah here is used in fiqh, in Bab al-Ja'ala, wa Bab al-Kafala, wa Bab al-Daman. And you see this discussion, they use this as evidence, that the scholars use this in the Book of Transactions, when they talk about the rulings of Ja'ala, the Ja'ala contract. Ja'ala contract is, for example, someone loses a phone, and he says, whoever finds my phone, I'll give you $100. This is Ja'ala. Is it permissible in the Sharia or not? And also, Bab al-Daman, where you guarantee something. You promise someone something, and someone says, I guarantee what he's saying, for example. It's a guarantee. If he doesn't come through with it, then I will pay you what he promised you, for example. Right? Kafala, representation, and so on and so forth. So this is what they said. We're missing this siqaya. We're missing this piece of merchandise. Whoever brings it for them is a camel's load worth of merchandise or food. And wa ana bihi za'im. Meaning, it's not just a promise, it's a promise with someone who will guarantee the promise. Do you get it? Huh? Meaning, this is a set reward. Now, why would you set a reward? Because you want someone to be sold out. Someone might have information here. You can say, yeah, okay, I'm coming forward. I know where it is. I'll find it for you. I want the reward. But to them, no one stole anything. No one stole anything. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضُ وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. They swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, we swear by Allah. You guys know that we didn't come here to do corruption here, to be corrupt. We didn't come here to steal. How would they know? Why would they say this statement? وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. And we're not thieves. Why would they say this? Why would they say, you know who we are. You know we're not these type of people. Because they had a previous meeting with Yusuf when they came without Binyamin, and they had this conversation, and they went back, and they've come back, and the first time they came genuinely, they left genuinely, and they came back with Binyamin. Meaning, if we were liars, why would we, if we were liars, we would have lied to you that we have a brother back home the first time. When we told you, give us an extra camel's load of food, we have a brother back home, we've proven to you we're not liars. You told us, bring him and I'll give you the meal. We went and got him and we came and showed you that we're truthful. We're not thieves. This is not the behavior of thieves. Why would we want to do this? Think about it. It's not logical. Because we don't know how long this drought is going to last. We might need more food. Why would we come here and spoil our chances? They swore by Allah. Now look, you must notice the speech. SubhanAllah, when someone is confident that they didn't do anything, can you see how, Can you see how straightforward they are? Not like when they went to their father. Bidamin kadhib. They told their father, we were racing and we left Yusuf fa akalahu dhi'b. Remember that conversation? That conversation didn't come out right. When you read the conversation, you can see tarkib. Yani they're just, putting words together and trying to emotionally blackmail their father, as if to say to their father, SubhanAllah, you told us the thief might eat him. Guess what? It happened. You thought a wolf was going to eat him, our dear father, and we told you it wouldn't happen, but hey, it happened. The wolf did eat him. You can see it's a whole different conversation now, isn't it? You can see it's a whole different conversation. They are innocent. They're not guilty. قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. The people of the palace dealing with this said, and Yusuf is amongst them, what is the reward for the one who steals? What is the punishment? What is the punishment for the one? We spoke about the reward for the one who finds the goblet. They're saying, what is the punishment for the one who steals? The brother spoke back and said, جَزَاؤُهُ مَوُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ. The punishment is that the one who has this missing piece, this goblet, in his bag, he is the jaza. Meaning he becomes a slave to the person who he stole from. Now some of the scholars of Tafsir, I used to think about this. Why this conversation? Why is Yusuf and the palace asking these people from Palestine about the punishment for the person who steals? You are in charge of the land. You know the punishment for the one who steals. But this was, subhanAllah, tadbir ajib. Tadbir ajib, it was precise planning from Yusuf. Obviously he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفُ. We'll see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the whole system in play. It is said, and Allah knows best, again, this is based on Judeo-Christian narratives, that the law of Egypt for the one who stole was different to the law of the land that Yaqub and his children were living in. In the land that Yaqub and his children were living in, that was the punishment. If you steal from someone, you become enslaved to them. So Yusuf alayhi salam was creating a scene whereby they themselves say the punishment. Because what does he want from this? To keep who? His brother Binyamin. So if he takes Binyamin, they can't say, you can't take Binyamin. They'll say, no, you told us the punishment. You said the punishment is that the person who is accused, the person who is quote-unquote guilty, Binyamin isn't guilty here. And look how careful the words are, huh? They didn't say the person who stole. They said the person who has the goblet in his bag, he becomes, he's the jaza, he's the recompense. He himself becomes the recompense, meaning this is the price you have to pay. So subhanAllah, tadbir ajib. Because if this is a precise planning, if this conversation didn't happen, and it was left to the law of Egypt, then Binyamin wouldn't have been assumed under the care of Yusuf. Because the law of Egypt was different regarding the one who stole. Okay, so things are going to plan. In Yusuf's mind, things are going to plan. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ. In fact, the brother said, كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الظَّالِمِينَ. This is how we deal with dhulm, with those who oppress, with the oppressors. A thief is an oppressor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ. Why does Allah tell us they started searching the bags of all the other brothers before searching the bag of Binyamin? Why is this information important to us? Allah leaves out information here and there, right? But here He gives us this scene here. That when the search happened, they started searching all the other bags before getting to Binyamin's bags. Why? It can look like a setup. This is a proper Australian style speech, huh? Setup. Now. Yeah, I didn't have that line in my mind, but excellent. That's exactly it. Ta'bir daqiq, Aussie style, yani. It was precise, mashallah, description. Precise description. If they just opened his bag, and the goblet came out, they would say, there's something wrong here. We know Binyamin, and something's going on here. We just made a promise to our father. Something's going on here. How come? We came here before, nothing happened. And now we come, so it played out in a way, open this bag, nothing. Open this bag, nothing. Open, aha. Now the stress is subsiding and you feel like, hey, you know what? They're not going to find anything. Then suddenly they open Binyamin's bag and this goblet comes out. Oh, subhanAllah. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفِ. That's how we planned it for Yusuf. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. This is the evidence. This is the evidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yusuf couldn't have taken his brother under his control using the rule of the land that he was in. And this is from the Quran. This is from the Quran, no doubt. But the other matter that I shared with you with some of the scholars of tafsir say that the Palestinian law was this, etc. In fact, to be honest, it's plausible. It's all from the Quran. Because if we look at Palestinian law, we hear it from the mouth of who? The mouths of the brothers of Yusuf. And then in terms of Egypt law, we're hearing it from the Quran itself. Allah is telling us that Yusuf could never have assumed Binyamin under his control using the law of the king of Egypt. Because it was a different law. So this is how Allah made everything play out. Allah says, إِلَّا أَيَّشَاءَ اللَّهِ. SubhanAllah. Look how the Quran has tarbiyah. Everywhere there's tarbiyah connecting us to Allah. Everywhere, even in the ayat of divorce, subhanAllah. Allah talks about talaq and divorce, and that's stressful, huh? Then Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. In there, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear His punishment. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and this is like you say factual, Yusuf could not have assumed his brother under his care using the law of the land of Egypt. Allah says, إِلَّا أَيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهِ, except if Allah willed. Meaning above every system is whose system? And who's in control of ultimately all the systems? إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. It is for Allah to create and it's for Him to legislate. There's no man-made law that can overcome Allah and can overcome Allah's decree and can overcome Allah's law. You understand this? Now, many of us, we read this verse, we don't pick this up. This is tarbiyah within the verses of the Quran, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We raise in rank whom we will. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And above every knowledgeable person is ultimately Allah, the ultimately knowledgeable. Every knowledgeable person has a teacher. Every teacher has a teacher. Every teacher has a teacher. Every teacher has a teacher. All this lineage of teachers and teaching goes all the way to the Sahaba and then to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then to Jibreel and then to Allah. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ. There's nothing above Allah. No one above Allah. No one who can teach Allah. Allah is al-Alim, the omniscient, the owner of all knowledge and the one from who all knowledge stems from. Subhanallah. So Allah gives us this tarbiyah here. What are the ayat of tarbiyah? إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتِ مَنْ نَشَاءَ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Subhanallah. Then Allah takes us back to the story. قَالُوا إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ. مُصِيبَةَ هَذِهِ. مُصِيبَةَ. You know, they call this a knee-jerk reaction. Huh? You are like relaxed. Empty bag, empty bag, empty bag, empty bag. And all of a sudden in Binyamin's bag, the goblet comes out. And all that stress comes back. La ilaha illallah. So immediately you have a knee-jerk reaction. They said, if he stole, then he has a brother who stole before. Ya jama'a, an taqsid man. Which brother are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Which brother is you? They say, Allah says this very clearly. Clearly, إِيَّسْرِقْ. If he has stolen, فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. But then he has a brother who stole before him. Now, I keep talking about this character of Yusuf. To be honest, you get to a stage when you read this, only Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam can reach this level of character. You know when you say enough is enough? Huh? In Africa, in Zimbabwe, say Jaka Presa. And it's not pure Shona, but it means this is enough. Enough is enough. I'm not taking any more. And they are saying this to Yusuf himself. Yani the person who they are saying this to is the man himself, Yusuf alayhi salam. But Allah says, Yusuf alayhi salam, فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. Yusuf kept it suppressed within himself. And he didn't let it out. Subhanallah, we were telling our brother, I was sitting with Sheikh before. There's a brother we know, Sheikh Yusuf Rahimahullah, who was a colleague of ours when we were studying in Saudiya. A beautiful brother. His name was Yusuf. From Adelaide, huh? Beautiful brother, Allah. And I was telling him, subhanallah, when you read the story of Yusuf and you think of Yusuf, Australi, he used to be known as Yusuf Australi. Huh? And now, inshallah, he's Yusuf Al-Jinani, inshallah. He's in Jannah, inshallah. Subhanallah, he passed away as a student. As a student. You see similarities. It's as if this boy studied Surah Yusuf so perfectly. And I remember there were some difficult circumstances that we were both a part of, and he would... يعني أسرها يوسف في نفسه ولم يبديها لهم. You feel this, like he's keeping it inside him. He's just not letting it speak. I don't know if you remember that, Sheikh. Sometimes we'd say something and he would just smile. We would not say anything. Say,
when I talk, you just smile.
So. Yeah, you'd say Yusuf. No, not so. You'd just be. Yani, I don't want to say anything. Subhanallah, what a beautiful soul he was. Rahimahullah. Rahimahullah. Subhanallah, and Allah have mercy on his children and grant mercy to his wife. He left a wife and he left children. And to his parents. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I met his mother in Riyadh. I met his mother in Riyadh. May Allah grant her a beautiful patience as well. His parents as well. Ameen. So Yusuf kept this in him. Subhanallah. Yani, I want to ask you guys. Yani, yalla, who do we feel is the most softest, most coolest, most... And they say watermelon cool. Who's watermelon cool here? Who is relaxed? There's some people's character, they're har, yani. Huh? Raymond, I know you to be a relaxed guy, ya akhi. Huh? Raymond, if it was you in this situation, Tell me, what would you do? Would you just let it go?
Yeah.
You let it go?
I don't let it go.
So even Raymond says, "Ana ma atahammal." Even Raymond says, "This is like a limit. I can't keep quiet." Raymond is from the coolest brothers I know. Meaning he's a cool brother, but he's also cool in his character. Yani. I used to joke with him. I say, "Raymond, you know, you mashallah, the type of guy, the ground can shake." And people say, "Is it a tremor? Is it an earthquake?" And you'll be like, huh? What happened? That's how cool Raymond is, mashallah. But Raymond is telling us, shahid, this is a shahid. Wa shahida shahidun min ahliha, yani. He is telling us, even he would speak up. Yusuf didn't say anything. Allah says, قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. Yusuf said, you are in a worse position. And Allah is all knowledgeable of what you are talking about. Whether you are being truthful and exactly what's happened. And who the real thieves are. Who's the real thieves here? You are the thieves. You stole me from my father. Huh? Now, where did he say this? The scholars of Tafsir say he said it inside him. Yani, hadithun nafs. Huh? Hadithun nafs. Say, innal kalam la fil fuadi wa innama ju'ila al fuadu ala al-lisani dalila. That the speech is here. But the son, the tongue, is the dalil of what you have in here. Because it manifests what you have inside. قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانًا. طيب, after this moment of madness, call it a moment of madness, when they said he has a brother who stole, this is a moment of madness. Okay, خلاص. حَطُّ عَلَى الْجَنْبِ, put on the side. A bit of sense reigns. And they say to Yusuf, minister, عزيز, إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا. He has a father who's really old. فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانًا. Take one of us in place of him. Take one of us in place of him. خلاص. As for him, send him back. Because not him. Yani, what they going to say, Yani? Not him. Take one of us, but not him. إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah. إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. يعني من أين سمعت هذه الوصفة قبل في هذه السورة؟ إن نراك من المحسنين. In the prison, I mentioned this to you a couple lessons ago, last lesson. In the prison, the inmate said to Yusuf, "Interpret our dreams for us." إن نراك من المحسنين. We see you an excellent person, a person who does good. And here the brothers are saying to him, to the same man who they said he stole before, and but put that on the side. They're saying to him, "Inna naraka min al-muhsinin." We see you as a person who does good. My dear brother and sister in Islam, ultimate character is when you are you. Anta ant. You are who you are. When you were a slave, "Inna naraka min al-muhsinin." When you're the leader now, "Inna naraka min al-muhsinin." Allahu Akbar. Remember, we've said time and time again, Yusuf teaches us how to happen to moments, and how not to let moments happen to us. That the believer is the person that strikes a matter, strikes a moment, strikes anything, and he transforms that thing that is struck for the better. The believer isn't one who the moment strikes him, or the moment strikes her, and the moment defines him or her. No, it's the other way. The believer defines the moment. Slavery struck Yusuf. Yusuf defined it. He took ownership of it and he defined it. Leadership struck Yusuf alayhi salam and he took ownership of it. He defined it. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. Sha'ira. This is subhanallah, a manifest signpost of who he is. Wherever you see Yusuf, whether he's a young boy, whether he's old, whether he's locked up in the room with a woman, whether he's a slave, whether he's jailed whilst he's innocent, whether he's dealing with a person who didn't look after his request when he told him, "Go tell the king about me," and that person eventually needed help. Whether he's dealing with his brothers who wronged him in the first place and now accusing him of being a thief. There's a constant. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. We need to aspire, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. قَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ أَن نَأْخُذَ إِلَّا مَا وَجَدْنَا مَتَعَنَا عِنْدَهِ. He says, "I seek refuge in Allah." مَعَذَ اللَّهِ. Huh? Where do we also hear مَعَذَ اللَّهِ? When he was locked up with the woman in the room. فَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. قَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ. So I seek refuge in Allah. But look how careful his words are. Alfaz daqiq, daqiqa, ta'bir daqiq. He doesn't say, I seek refuge in Allah from making the mistake of taking someone else who isn't the thief. Because no one's a thief here. Do we have a thief here? There's no thief. Binyamin isn't a thief. The brothers aren't a thief. Yusuf put the goblet himself there. It's like he lent it to them and now it's come back. Yusuf says, I seek refuge in Allah from having to take someone else other than the person who had the bag in which there was the goblet. Ma ra'yuk? What do you think of this? He's basically reading back to them what happened. Him, bag, goblet, a goblet. Him, bag, wi'a. So I can only take the person who had the bag, who had the wi'a in it. That's all he's saying. He's not giving him a wasp. He's not saying he's a thief. He's not saying he's guilty. So he's not lying. Is Yusuf lying? Yusuf's not lying. No one's lying here. Even the person who called out and said, innakum lasariqun, he's not lying. He was speaking based on knowledge that he had. When something is there and it's missing, someone stole it. Correct? Okay. Unless you want to become now, mashallah, philosophical, yani sariqa, yani majazi, sariqa haqiqi, if you want to go into that, no, is sariqa bima'na al-majaz, meaning he was metaphorically meaning that they were thieves. But they're not really thieves until proven to be thieves. Anyway, it's a fine. Those are all plausible mannerisms of explaining the position of the guard. We'll stop here. But before we stop, I just want to mention this verse, the next verse. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّةً. And in this verse, subhanAllah, whenever you read it, you feel like this is يعني بلاغة قرآنية يعني عجيبة. This is like from the miracles of the Quran. And look at this. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّةً. And those who know Arabic can only appreciate this. I'm sure Sheikh can appreciate it, and Sheikh Munir, and those who know Arabic. We studied Arabic grammar, you studied with some balagha, you can see يعني, the wasf and the bayan. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّةً. Yani in just a few words, Allah has packaged so much. Yani think of it like this. Something's happened, you have someone, he has a problem, huh? And he tries everything, day and night. Every contact he can find, every wasita, every avenue, every route, every canal, every port, yani anything you can think of, he's tried it to solve this matter. Istifrag al-juhud, he extracted all his energy, all his effort to try and sort this matter out. And he's resigned now finally that there's nothing more I can do. All of this is being taught to us in this short tarkib of words. Kalimat ilahiyya. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّةً. طيب, we'll stop here inshaAllah and we will resume tomorrow. بِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. What's tomorrow in Shona?
We only have a few days. Sheikh is traveling on the 9th.
Tuesday is our last lesson.
Yes.
So Monday and Tuesday. We'll finish inshaAllah by Tuesday.
Maybe.
Now, you want us to sit longer? We've already done almost an hour. So, as you know, brother, if we share too much knowledge, retention, no, inshallah, we'll finish. We'll finish. We'll finish. Meaning, my plan was to take you all to the end of the story of Yusuf, not the surah. The story ends slightly before the surah ends. So, inshallah, we'll get to the ta'bir ru'ya min qabl, inshallah. Before I leave, in kuntu hayya, yani if Allah gives us life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us in His obedience. Jazakum Allahu khairan, taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-amal, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.